Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Corey and Chad here chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, look, we actually have a crypto story that we can talk about. This news that as we're recording this really just broke about half an hour ago. And that is the SEC going after Binance. Now, again, this story is just breaking. It is causing the price of Bitcoin to drop over $1,000 right now, down about 4%. And, well, this is, I guess, more worrisome signs for the crypto space in terms of Binance being the leader and one that maybe we thought would get through some of this recent issues that the crypto space has. But, well, now with the SEC going after it, never a good sign. Ed, what's your takeaway from this news? Again, SEC going after Binance.
It's definitely bad news for the cryptoverse. You know, as you highlighted, lots of weakness with the cryptocurrencies, even seeing Coinbase down about 10%. So, you know, typically when you see one exchange in trouble, some people would think maybe it could benefit another one. Not the case. You know, the world's largest crypto exchange is somewhere where obviously a lot of crypto investors are comfortable with entrusting them to handle their cryptocurrency exposure. And I think when you take a look at what the SEC is charging them on is, you know, the functions as a securities market, offering unregistered crypto assets. This is not a surprise. We've been, you know, the debate as far as what is a securities, what's going to be a commodities. You know, the question is, what are they going to deem Ethereum, that is. And I think for me, one of the bigger, you know, concerns is, you know, the misleading of customers. You know, they have a protected database. And so I think, you know, this is, you know, we talked about how in the past they were reviewing their books. And I think there's, you know, obviously in the early years, so going back more than, you know, a few years, Binance, you know, was trying to grow as a crypto company. And maybe they did not have the most, you know, followed to the rules as far as how to operate and manage customers' clients' funds. And I think this review of Binance is going to be lengthy. It's going to, you know, lead to some concern that they might have to, if they have to abandon certain key markets, that is, you know, a big risk. I think what's also, you know, coinciding with this is, you know, earlier in the day, we heard Binance is, you know, finding out the heir apparent for CZ. And they're targeting someone who was a regulator, it's a calculated move, and it might help with some of the workings with these regulatory bodies, and you know, trying to see, figure out what penalty will Binance have to pay, and if they can get beyond that, then you know, all, you know, could potentially be well. But, you know, we need to find out questions. I mean, like, we have to find out exactly, you know, which crypto assets are going to be deemed securities. And, you know, I think in the end, it sounds bearish for the cryptoverse. Short term, you know, you're obviously seeing Bitcoin take a big hit. In the end, you'll probably see the liquidation of a lot of those, you know, meme coins, and you know, eventually those flows could go back into Bitcoin. But I think, you know, in order for crypto to have the next wave of growth, you still need to clean up the space. And this is going to be a part of that. So I think we're probably going to see, you know, we'll get more clarity. But I think right now there's you know, this was coming for Binance. There's always been some scrutiny and skepticism on how they've operated throughout those early years. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, these are serious allegations. And I think that, you know, the crypto market reaction is justified. And we'll see what happens going forward. But this is definitely something that is helping Bitcoin break below its key trading range. And we'll see if how much momentum selling is still there.
Well, Ed, when you think about the story of cryptos and regulation and some of these big knee-jerk reactions we've seen in the market over the last few years, it almost always comes down to a third-party crypto exchange. Not necessarily a problem with a particular coin or altcoin, although there have been some issues as far as that. But the majority of the issues seem to be third-party exchanges getting hacked, third-party exchanges not using the money correctly, third-party exchanges trapping people's funds there. Do you think this starts a broader discussion about some of the other companies trying to do decentralized exchanges where there isn't one company in trouble? Because a lot of the narrative about getting into the crypto space is to get rid of that third-party risk. But it seems like these exchanges are where the weak link is. And it seems like there's also some people pushing to go back to cold storage and cold wallets as opposed to storing things on the exchanges. But that's not ever been popular with the masses. So what's your take on that discussion around these third-party exchanges?
Well, I think for a lot of people, some have already committed to cold storage. But for the active trader, for the person that's trying to take advantage of, you know, you oftentimes have some stories where you might have a key blockchain protocol that could have a good move. And this is something that is going to, I think, for a lot of people, that trade might become a little bit smaller. I think there's going to be skepticism to deal with these exchanges. Now you have companies like Coinbase where they're you know leading the charge and trying to handle that regulatory conversation. No one knows exactly what rules are going to be put in place and what is going to be deemed a commodity or a security. I think until you have that clarity, there's going to be a lot of hesitancy to deal with exchanges. So the new investor is going to be hesitant to go into cold storage. I think there's trading alone is hard enough, but then having to manage your wallet. And I mean, there's countless, horror stories, people going to garbage dumps and trying to find the computer. I've talked to so many people that have lost their crypto. And I think that you're going to see, I think the next year, the pressure is there to have some type of regulatory guidelines put in place with, the EU has gotten a head start to that. So this is a bad story. This is bad for Bitcoin liquidity as well. I think you're going to see probably, I think the people that are looking to, put in a long-term buy, I think most of them are already in. So I think it doesn't seem like you're going to have that, rush to get back into Bitcoin to buy the dip until we have some of those regulatory, hurdles cleared. And I think what we need to know is Ethereum going to get crushed here? Is how the SEC and CFTC eventually, govern this space? That's the big question mark. And, if a new entity is formed, which might be the best way to go about it, there's too much of a wait and see approach. So I think crypto is, in this environment, I mean, with, the way how high stocks are going, you would have anticipated Bitcoin would have been doing a little bit better. And so I think, there's too much hesitancy to get back into the space right now. So, downside risks, firmly remain.
Well, sticking just to this whole investment angle for cryptocurrencies broadly, your comment there, Ed, of most of the buy and holders are already in. So it's about bringing in new investors. And quite frankly, investors aren't going to come into a market that doesn't have some exchange, some defined place that these things can be traded, that people have some faith in. So to me, it seems like that could be the next big step for this sector, because until then, you just get more stories like this that don't bring in the new investor.
I think that's the big concern. And I think right now you're going to struggle to attract new investors. We've gone through the use case argument. We've gone through NFTs. We've gone through so many different aspects of the cryptoverse. Right now, the interest is not there. And then I think that's, a major roadblock for the global crypto market cap to grow. And we're not going to get any answers, I think, anytime soon. I think until we really start to hear some legislation get pushed through, and some, there are some pieces being floated out there, we're not going to, I think, see any progress here. The good news is, though, I mean, we've heard so many crypto layoffs. There has been a lot of job destruction in the cryptoverse. The reason I say that, you know, it's good to bring that up is because that's pressuring lawmakers. You're having, you're seeing a lot of, I think, you know, people in Congress that are aware that, wow, we're, if you're in a crypto city, you know, this is an important market that you don't want to destroy. I think there is still a lot of potential here. And I think that people are aware of that. So I think we're going to get some legislation this year. And the pressure is clearly on. And so, will this uncertainty, you know, go into 2024? I really think we're going to have some clearer guidelines put in place before then. So that's the one saving grace. And I think most likely they should be put in place to foster long-term growth. There's still a belief that this is, it's not as attractive as AI is, but it is a market that could have a lot of good potential for job creation. And that's something Congress can always get behind.
Well, Ed, it is ironic in a way that a lot of the companies using cryptos are big proponents of decentralized finance because of how it's going to help with security and safety of information and with financial documents. And when you think about things like this Binance, but back to FTX or back to BitConnect, it seems like all of them could have used some of their own, eaten some of their own cooking and needed help with decentralized finance. But you brought up a great point there that AI seems to be stealing the speculative fervor right now. Do you think some of the people that were not necessarily in cryptos for some of the use case, but were in it for the speculation, have moved over to the AI universe? Is that stealing crypto's thunder right now?
Very much so. I think Bitcoin liquidity disappeared, and you saw a major move here in AI. This trade was mostly one way, and I think that you're probably going to see, everyone anticipates that you're still going to get a lot of volatility with crypto. I think most people were anticipating that the regulation, you know, there's a chance that you could have some major downward moves here, pressuring cryptos. That was always the risk. And then once that was cleared, then you could have the argument for a longer term bull market. I mean, when Bitcoin was like, you know, rising a couple percentage points, and people were thinking, well, it's maybe because of the halving that's going to happen next year. That's just silly, because there's too much front-loaded risk right now that we're dealing with. And I think that, does Bitcoin have a lot of, you know, long-term investors? Yes. But what's moving it? It's the institutional money. It's the active money. And you know, that money has abandoned any bullish bets. You know, no one liked trading that narrow range. And especially when you had so much better opportunities with the NVIDIAs and all the other key AI trades.
What is this telling you about the broader market here, Ed? Where, look, we've talked about how this market has been held up by big tech names. The breadth has been horrible because five stocks are really leading the way. But there is still a story that has people excited. And quite frankly, when markets are functioning like this, at least if there is some story to drive markets, it shows that investors are still willing to chase something.
I think so. I think, you know, this has been a fascinating rally. I mean, we're at 4,300 with the S&P 500. And there are a lot of well-respected analysts that were still sticking to their calls a month ago about retesting those October lows. It's amazing. It's amazing to see how, you know, resilient the economy has been. And, you know, I felt like the short squeeze just kept extending until it tested the S&P 500's testing bull market territory. And now, you know, it's AI. It's, you know, today Apple and their Cupertino Developers Conference. They're, you know, this is a highly anticipated event. A lot of buzz there. Apple, you know, close to record highs. And I think you're seeing that, traders, I think there were so many risks that have been put on the table over these last few months. And a lot of people thought that was going to be what's needed to, bring stocks back down to reality. And I think, you know, in the end, there was still this strong conviction that, well, we're going to have the Fed save the day eventually. You know, debt ceiling didn't do anything. You know, the banking crisis, that's going to be a long, drawn out story. So yes, the fear is not there right now, but I mean, credit conditions are going to clearly tighten. we're going to see lending take a massive hit very soon. It's starting to percolate, and I think that, you know, we've earnings are, you know, this past earnings season just really impressed, and the guidance was mixed. But I think, you know, we're going to see an earnings, we're in an earnings recession, and we're going to see that the Fed is going to be kind of data dependent, whether they deliver one, possibly two. I think some people are arguing they're done still, but you know, we're going to see higher for longer. And I think that we're getting some signs of inflation coming down, but this is a market that it just doesn't want to stop. And I think that there's so much money on the sidelines, which is the fascinating trade. I think that, you know, there's, you know, I'm talking to other analysts and a couple of traders where, you know, everyone was thinking, well, now that we got the debt ceiling done, you know, what's the next big focal point? It's like, you know, okay, well, we got $1 trillion of issuance that's going to come in. But that's still expected to get absorbed. The question is, how much stress is that really going to create? People are making the argument that it might not trigger as much as people are fearing. So it seems like, well, does that mean stocks continue to extend? And you know, what will it take? It seems like we're still waiting for a fresh catalyst that will surprise investors to bring us debt back. You know, I think we've overextended for quite some time, that it's people are fearful that this could actually end up leading to another, you know, major move higher. So it's the most hated rally I've seen in some time. But we'll see what happens. But this is definitely a stock market that has benefited from a resilient U.S. economy.
Yeah, it has. And it just seems like for all the bears out there, we're just waiting for a big event, because it doesn't seem like this data is driving markets or at least changing people's perspective right now. And I don't even know if one miss or one big change in the data would. It just seems like we're waiting for another big event, but hey, it could happen. A lot of people have pointed out a number of different areas where other failures could come in the U.S. Well, Ed, thank you for your time. I'm glad we had something to talk about in the crypto space. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.